And good morning, Bruce.
And good morning, Cora. Good morning, listeners. Wonderful to have your company here on our regular Thursday morning Community Conversations program. Hard to believe there's only 47 days left in this decade, and then we're going to be in 2020. Wow. The year is racing by, it really is. It's Prince Charles's birthday today, for those of you who care. It's also World Diabetes Day, and it's Children's Day. And I did a bit of research, and there was two amazing publications that were first published today on the 14th of November, and that is Treasure Island by Robert Louis Stevenson, first published in 1883, and Moby Dick, first published in 1851. Wow, two real classics today. But, wow, 14th of November, I've been away in New Zealand for a week, so I missed you last week, but wonderful to be back here with Cora and the team here at Yarra Valley FM 99.1. And obviously, we have the amazing Radiothon happening at the moment, just 2 days left, and you have an opportunity. There's a rumour going around that there are a few listeners, a few of you, that have still not supported the Radiothon. So here you have a chance, 2 more days to go to subscribe. You can nominate a particular program, we hope it'll be this one, to subscribe for just $20 and support your local community radio station. As always, though, let's cut to the chase and say that we have an amazing guest here in the studio. You know we do that every Thursday morning, but today is no exception because it's taken a few months because of his incredibly busy schedule. But here in the studio today, we have the director of the Healesville Sanctuary, Ross Williamson. Good morning, Ross.
Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Wonderful to have you here with
Thank
us
you.
in the flesh.
Here.
And I know we've got 2 hours of things we could talk about and only 1 hour to do it, so we'll have to talk fast or something, Ross.
We will.
Hey, before we talk about Healesville Sanctuary, though, let's find out a little bit about you. I know that you've been here nearly 3 years as the director, but let's go back a few years. Where were you born? Where did you hail from? And did you have pet animals when you were 5 years old or something?
I was born in Melbourne. So I grew up in Pascavale,
yes.
In the days when Pascavale was a huge growing suburb, or that
yes.
whole area through the northern suburbs was growing, and went to the local government schools and was lucky enough to get to study science at Melbourne Uni and fell in love with botany and zoology and made a bit of a career out of it.
Yes, so. I did science as well, Ross, I could never handle that botany and zoology stuff. I was a chemistry man. So.
Okay. Oh, it was a pretty easy decision for me. It was something I was interested in all through my childhood.
Yes. So you'd sort of taken an interest in plants and animals from an early age?
Yes. Well, I was lucky enough to have family in the country, and so we spent a lot of time on farms and a lot of time outdoors and in bushland, and I was also involved in Scouts, as you were.
Yes, yes.
And that was a fantastic organisation for getting kids out in the bush.
We've got a lot in common, I can see.
Okay. And so all of that combined just seemed to engender this desire to be outside and this interest in the natural world. So it's something that's just been a lifelong passion for me.
Fantastic, fantastic. And you're with Bruce Argyle here on Community Conversations. And a big shout out today to all of those people who are either volunteers or staff or in some way associated with the Healesville Sanctuary, because here this morning in the studio we have Ross Williamson, director of the Healesville Sanctuary. And I know there are many, many people here in the Valley and beyond the Valley who are long-time supporters, long-time associates who've been volunteers, who've worked there, who have some kind of strong affiliation with the Healesville Sanctuary. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. But for the start, let's just join the dots and ask you, Ross, how did you go from Pascavale and an interest in science and botany and zoology and end up at Zoos Victoria or Healesville Sanctuary? What were the other dots in there?
Well, there was no career plan, Bruce, I must say. So I was very, very lucky to get a short-term job with the old National Park Service back in about 1980. And I decided very quickly that that's what I wanted to do. So I started with Parks Victoria, National Park Service as it was, and I had a terrific career with them. I was with them for about 31 years.
Okay.
And worked as a botanist, as a planner, My wife and I made the jump out into country Victoria down to South Gippsland in the early 90s. And down to Yarram first and then Foster.
Great.
And that's where our kids grew up. So I worked as a ranger down there. And through a whole range of things, I ended up managing Zoos Victoria's fire recovery program after the Black Saturday fires across the state. And that gave me really good grounding in a whole range of different areas.
Mm.
And I ended up, after that work finished, at managing Albert Park.
Okay.
The joke that I used to make was that Zoos Victoria, Parks Victoria decided that they needed to find somebody who had no interest in sport to manage
Formula
Albert
One
Park,
because
it's
like
all
that.
About. Yep. And they found me and decided not to look any further. So I did that for a little while, and I decided that it was time to move on. That Albert Park wasn't quite what I was interested in doing, and I was very, very lucky to my wife found me a job. I got home one night and she said, "I found you a job." And I said, "Oh yeah, what is it?" It's general manager threatened species at Zoos Victoria. And I said, "Oh yeah, well, I've got no chance of getting that."
Yep.
But I rang up the woman who ran that part of the organisation and spoke to her, and she was interested, and lo and behold, about 4 years ago, I got the position. So I spent a bit over 12 months. I transferred from Parks Victoria to Zoos Victoria, big jump, and managed the threatened species program for Zoos Victoria for about 15 months, and just had a sensational time working for a new organisation, an organisation that had some reasonable amount of resources that they were prepared to invest in.
And some big challenges too.
Great challenges, but a really go-ahead organisation, fantastic team of people.
Mm.
And after doing that for a while, they asked me to go up to Hillsville Sanctuary. So there was never a career plan to get up there, but
we're pleased you made it.
Oh, well, so am I.
That's fantastic. That is absolutely fantastic. So for those of you who don't know, and I don't want to steal your thunder, Ross, but obviously Hillsville Sanctuary is one of the three major, shall we say, locations for Zoos Victoria, and the other two.
So, Zoos Victoria runs the Sanctuary, Melbourne Zoo, and Werribee Open Range Zoo. So, those are the three properties that sitting under the one umbrella.
Mm.
Yeah. So, all attached to the government through we're a separate organisation run by a board, but ultimately we report into government.
Yeah, fantastic. Now, for those of you who've been around the valley longer than I have, you'll know that it used to be called the Sir Colin McKenzie Sanctuary and was established back in 1934. So that makes it about 83 years old. That's a pretty good history, isn't it, Ross?
It's a fantastic history. It really is an institution in Victoria. It's a greatly loved place. It's got a huge amount of history. In fact, it's going to be the 100th anniversary of Sir Colin McKenzie taking up that land at Hillsville next year.
Oh, next year, okay.
Next year. So he had it for about 14 years before the Sanctuary itself started. We still retain the link with that name, and we still dip our lids, acknowledge the great work that Sir Colin McKenzie did at the Sanctuary establishment.
Foundation.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yep.
Fantastic. I'm wondering whether we could just, I know this is going to be hard to keep you to 5 minutes, but could we just have some of the highlights, some of the magic things that have been happening over the last year or so?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, 5 minutes is a bit hard to create.
It is, isn't it?
Look, I suppose the big things that we've been really pleased about over the last 12 months, we've had some tremendous success with some of our Fighting Extinction programs. So Fighting Extinction is the work that we do on conserving Australian species. Mm-hmm. So we had a terrific year for our breeding program for orange-bellied parrots last year and had 46 fledglings.
That's, wow.
Many of which will go out back into the wild.
But, I mean, that's cutting edge stuff, isn't
it? Yes, it is. Yeah, and it's a species that, when we talk about 46 fledglings, that's probably larger than the wild population now. So it's a really significant part of what we do. We had really good success, our second best year with helmeted honeyeaters. We've been involved in that species, and that's, you know, that's a local species. That's down at Yellingbo. We got 32 fledglings this last season, which is a terrific result.
Why such great success, do you think, Ross? Anything in particular?
We've been at it for a long time, so we're building on previous successes. So our knowledge about how to work with those animals and what they need to breed successfully is really growing. Very good. The staff are fantastic. You know, they really are quite expert at what they do, and incredibly dedicated to.
And these species
sure
would be lost without your efforts.
Oh, unquestionably, the helmeted honeyeater, the breeding program was a significant part of the successful road to recovery, but it wouldn't have done it by itself. The Friends of the Hee-Hos, and the work that the two government agencies, Parks and DELP, have contributed to it. But the Friends, Zoos Victoria, the two government departments, it's been a really strong partnership on that species to see it start to recover. And now we've got, you know, they bottomed out at about 50 birds in the wild. They're now over 200.
Still small, isn't it?
It is still small, and, you know, it's something that we're very conscious that we've got to find other places to put these animals at, because currently we've got all of our eggs in one basket down in that location.
Excuse the pun.
Yeah. So we're hoping that the program will grow and we'll start seeing birds in other locations around.
Fantastic.
So it's terrific.
And what about animals, Ross? Any with the extinct endangered species, not the extinct ones. We don't want them to be extinct. any endangered animals?
There's those two species that have been particular highlights. We also had a really good event last year where we work on a couple of endangered skink species. Both alpine species that we're trying to learn how to keep them in captivity, basically as a backstop. These animals occur in very small populations in the wild, and they've been threatened by big fires in the past, you know, 2003 and 2006-07. And we want to get the husbandry, we want to get the knowledge so that if there's ever a fire that destroys their habitat, we can retrieve them out of the wild, keep them in captivity for long enough for the habitat to recover, and then put them back out.
Right.
It's a technique that's been successfully used for endangered fish in the past, and not at the Century, but at Arthur Eiler Institute. And it's something that we're working on. We had first successful birth of the Guthaca skink last year. So that was a real milestone. So it was one animal, but it demonstrates to us that we're on the right track. And where it was hot on the heels of been successfully hibernating these animals. So that was a big tick for us. That was a huge step forward.
Well done.
And we've done recently had a real achievement with mountain pygmy possums. I don't know whether you know much about
a little bit, yes.
So it's the only marsupial that hibernates. But these guys live in the alpine areas above the snow line, and they hibernate during the winter time. And we've been working on, again, the same principle. We want to get the knowledge of how to keep them in captivity if at any stage the habitat fails and they look like they're not going to survive. We can bring them in, keep them until the habitat restores, and then get them back out into the wild where they belong. We're all about keeping animals back, getting them back into the wild.
Yep.
There's no point in having them in cages in the... just, you know, like a stamp collection. It's really got to be about conserving species, conserving individuals back out in the wild in their habitat where they belong.
You've even got refrigerated containers for these pygmy possums, haven't you?
We have, and we've recently finished building a new facility specifically for the skinks, so it's basically a massive fridge. It was a $600,000 project that we funded out largely ourselves. And we've got the capacity to take that down to 2 degrees and keep it within 1 degree of that to hibernate these animals over time. And it'll be a real asset for us because it's something that we can adapt to other species. So yes. If at any stage we need to do the same thing with mountain pygmy possums, we've got that facility on
that
site
is,
now.
That is terrific.
So it was a really big project for us.
Yeah. And it's been one of many other big projects. I mean, going over the last 3, 4, 5 years, there's been huge investment in Healesville Sanctuary, hasn't there?
Look, there has. So we've created a new koala habitat for the sanctuary. So I don't know whether you've been through.
I have, and I'm very impressed with that.
It's terrific. It was a really big move for us. So we wanted to build. We had a program called Iconic Australia. So we wanted to try and give our visitors a really good feel for some of the key species that they're interested in. So yep. Koalas. Kangaroo Country was the second stage of that. So you walk through the koala forest, you come into really close...
Yes, yeah, close, they're right there, aren't they?
Yeah,
they're looking you in the eye.
Absolutely. And then you walk through and see our red kangaroos and then our Kangaroo Island kangaroos and the only non-Australian species, the Goodfellows tree kangaroo. Mm. Now, that little circuit has been fantastic.
Talking about visitors, how many people would come to the sanctuary now, Russ?
Well, we had our best year ever last year, and we had 471,000 people through.
Wow, so that's nearly half a million people.
Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to that 500,000. That's going to be terrific. We sort of bottomed out in 2009. We were down to about 260,000, so... We've grown significantly.
So 10 years on, yeah, you've nearly doubled that.
Absolutely, yeah. Wow. So we want to continue that growth. It's one thing about Zoos Victoria is we only 25% or thereabouts of our funding comes from the government.
Right.
The rest of it we make ourselves. So 75% of what we make, what
yes.
we spend, we make through our visitors, entry fees, memberships, the retail... and catering.
Yes.
And so it's really,
yes.
when we have to be a little bit commercial, so we're able to make the investments in the Threatened Species Program. We invest $8 to $10 million in conservation each year.
And that's a lot.
And that's all off the back of the work that we do at the three properties, getting visitors in, enjoying the place.
Fantastic. And if Cora and I were just talking off air, about membership with Zoos Victoria, and if you have not been a member of Zoos Victoria, it's something that would be really worthwhile considering. I think you've got nearly 300,000 members, you were saying, Ross.
291,000 the last time I checked, which
yes.
has just been growing phenomenally over the last few years.
That's a wonderful way to support what you're doing, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it is. And we look at our members as being supporters. They get great benefits from being a member. So they get access to two world-class zoos and one world-class sanctuary.
Yes.
365 days of the year. And lots of information, lots of opportunities to specifically for members to come along and enjoy the three properties.
And to know that they're supporting these efforts that you're
yep.
talking about now.
Yeah.
Ross, along the way, this is not easy work. There's lots of challenges. We've talked a little bit about endangered species. There's never enough resources to do what we really want to do in this space. What are the biggest challenges for you as directors? Just throw that question at you off the cuff without warning. What are some of the big things that dare I say keep you awake at night or something like that?
That's a good question, Bruce. Some of the big challenges for us is keeping the number of visitors coming through and maintaining our relevance. Victorians have a great soft spot for Healesville Sanctuary.
Yes, they do.
And when I go out and talk to people, they ask me what I do. I tell them, and the immediate response is invariably, "Oh, I love Healesville Sanctuary." And my immediate response is, "Fantastic! When was the last time you came and visited us?" And they would inevitably say, "Oh, it must be 20 years ago or 30 years ago."
Yes.
Well,
but they still love it.
which is lovely, but we'd really like people to come and visit. So the big thing for us is, you know...
Because a lot's happened in 20... I mean, in the last 2 or 3 years.
Yes, the place has transformed over the last 5, 6, 7 years. The guy that was in the chair before me did a sensational job at really... picking the place up and transforming it, and I think the sanctuary you see today is really quite different to the century we saw 10 years ago or even 8 years ago.
So if you're listening this morning and you haven't been to the Healesville Sanctuary, let's say in the last 2 years, you're overdue for a visit. That's right, isn't it? Ross?
Yes, you are, and it will be a visit well rewarded. It's it is an exquisite place, and it's a sanctuary in the true sense of the word. It's something, when you step into the sanctuary, the bush garden that we have, it gives you a sense of sanctuary. It's a peaceful, beautiful place with lots of wildlife, not just there in the enclosures, but the wildlife that's part of the sanctuary is really amazing now.
It is.
We've had a very strong program over the last few years of trying to get rid of foxes and cats out of the sanctuary and the Corranderk bushland next door, which we managed to remove the last cat 2 years ago and fox 6 months ago. And the response of the wildlife within the sanctuary itself is really astounding. So the bird life, the lizards, we've now got long-nosed bandicoots digging up the lawns, so people will see holes everywhere. Now, it's a species that people would never see any evidence of, and they're all over the place at the
sanctuary.
That is
fantastic.
Making a terrible mess of my garden at home, but it's great. So the big challenge is getting that relevance. Some of the other things that we're doing over the next little while we're working on trying to improve our accessibility. So we invested in a big grant from the Department of Health and Human Services in a Changing Places toilet.
Ah, yes, yes, I know the Changing Places toilet.
Fantastic.
Great facilities.
Great facility for people with severe physical disabilities. And that was a really great initiative that we opened a few months ago, but it's part of a longer program to try and build the accessibility of the place so that everybody in Victoria and all of our visitors can
enjoy.
Come into the place. Mm. So there's the other big challenge. We've got a terrific initiative called Mega Beasts, which is a visitor activation program.
Okay.
So we started it last autumn and had these Ice Age sculptures, the animatronic sculptures that kids really
enjoyed. Yes, kids would love that.
And we ran that for about 3 months in autumn last year, and they're doing a bit of a return, bigger and better next March, April. We're bringing in dinosaurs as well.
Right.
So that'll be a fantastic activation that hopefully will really draw people in.
Fire up the imagination of those kids.
Yeah. Yes. And there was just a quick question passed to me about the creek play in summertime, where we've had to cut the creek play back a bit, unfortunately. We started to look at the quality of the water that was flowing into the sanctuary, and unfortunately, during summertime, the E. coli levels in the creek have started to increase.
Right.
So we were monitoring that last year and decided that it wasn't really high levels.
Yes.
But
it was heading that way.
It was heading that way, and it would have been fine for people just to wade through, but you can't guarantee that the littlies are going to just wade. They tend to fall over and and drink it and muck around.
Yeah.
So we thought to be on the safe side, we would have to curtail it. But we've got some other activities over summertime. The sanctuary is going to be a really cool place to visit over the summer. We're installing some new misters. So these are new sculptural elements that there's going to be a misting tunnel that you'll be able to walk through, and this fine mist will come over you. So on really hot days, the sanctuary is going to be a terrific place to visit.
Right.
So it's a great alternative to wading in the creek, and I'd encourage people to come and have a look. And there's a really good surprise that hopefully will be installed in the next few weeks. So a massive sculpture. I won't tell you too much about it.
We'll watch the
space.
But
it is something that's going to be, don't miss it, it's going to be great.
Fantastic. It's been wonderful to have Ross Williamson, the director of the Healesville Sanctuary, here in the studio this morning. And Ross, I know there are lots of plans. There's been an amazing amount done in the last 5 years at the Healesville Sanctuary, but it's changing all the time. You've mentioned a couple of things that are coming up, a couple of surprises, but what are the 2020s that are fast upon us? What's that going to possibly look like at the Healesville Sanctuary, do you think?
Well, I think we're heading in for an exciting period. We've been doing a lot of thinking about the next 5 years and 10 years at the Sanctuary over the last little while. And some of the things that we're really going to focus our attention on is we'd like to have a really good look at our the way that we work with platypus.
Yes.
The sanctuary's icon is platypus.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
We haven't really talked about the platypus. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's we've got some great buildings there that house the plats and some really good interpretation work. But it needs a little bit of an extra kick. We think that we can turn it into something that's really sensational and will be absolutely a world class. So we're putting some really good thinking into that, and we'd like to really build that over
great.
The next little while.
Great. Because people come from all over the world
to see
the platypus.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. We've got a... We recently had a family of Japanese people out, and they'd made their own T-shirts, and they'd come specifically to Australia to see the plats at Healesville Sanctuary. So that's one of our big things. We're putting a lot of effort into the Australian Wildlife Health Centre.
So yes, tell us a bit about that.
So look, the hospital is something I'm really, really proud of. It was a fantastic initiative back in 2006 to build this brand new facility and basically put all of our work on display. Zoos Victoria has got this commitment to compassionate conservation.
Yes.
And although we talk a lot about species, we don't forget the individual animals.
Yep.
So we provide a service to the community rescue and rehab wildlife that are injured on the roads or
great service.
Dog or cat attacks or cat attacks, and we treat around 1,500 animals each year.
Wow!
And we're hoping to continue to build that. We need to refresh the public accessible areas in the AWHC, the health centre. We've got plans to build a raptor rehabilitation exercise centre. So it's like I describe it as a big donut. So this is big ring that's enclosed. That if we get a bird of prey, an eagle or an owl or a harrier, hawk, kestrel,
yes.
things like that.
That's been injured or something.
That's been injured.
Yes.
They really need to be fully fit before they can be released successfully back into the wild. And we're hoping that we're going to be able to build this facility that will actually allow them to fly and exercise.
Right. Like a bit like a cyclotron.
That's a really good description of it, actually. There are others elsewhere in the world. There's a really good one over in the States that we'd like to have a good look at. And so that's another thing that we're really excited about. And we've got some benefactors, some supporters that are prepared to invest in that.
Fantastic.
Haven't got everything that we need, but it's a huge step forward, and that's just happened in the last few weeks.
Do you have enough space for all these ideas there?
Well, look, sometimes we start to cram things in, and finding exactly the right space is really quite challenging, because it's like adapting your house to suit the changing family requirements.
It's, yes.
You know, where you add that extra room for the kids is quite a challenge.
Because you want to keep the sanctuary feel, don't
that's
you?
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. But we'll find some space around the hospital that will suit it nicely.
Fantastic.
But that's another big thing that we're working on. We'd also like to look at expanding. The entry into the sanctuary needs a bit of work.
Yes.
And we're losing the opportunity to really get our conservation message across to people as soon as they walk in the gate.
Yeah.
So when they buy their ticket and they're into the sanctuary, we want to redo that area between there and the koalas.
Yes.
to really give people, immerse them straight into the sanctuary and what it's trying to do, what it's trying to achieve. First up, get them excited
Fantastic.
About it and get them in. Prime them for their journey through the sanctuary.
Boss, we're just about out of time. I can only try and twist your arm to get you back on radio here next year because we have got so many other things we could talk about. Thank you so much for coming in this morning. I know our listeners will have been absolutely fascinated with some of the things you've been saying.
Well, thanks for the opportunity, Bruce. It's been great.
Really great. And we'll conclude with a big shout out to all the staff, the volunteers, anybody associated with the
Absolutely.
Sanctuary.
Absolutely. Particularly our volunteers who make a huge difference to the sanctuary.
Well done, all of you. And I'll be back. Cora will be back. Same time next week. We look forward to your company Thursday at 9 o'clock. And have a wonderful, wonderful week.